Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's Go Fish Scene at first. That's our theme song. And thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. We're going to get right into it. And we're going to sing a song from Go Fish. I mean, play a song. And this one's called The Bible Book Bop here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Bop, 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 Bible Book.
Makes me wanna sing into the Bible.
God.
That was Faithful God. And before that, of course, you had the Bible Book Box by Go Fish, and Faithful God is by Shailene. That's spelled S-H-A-I-L-I-N-N-E. And you want to hear more of his music and buy it, go to lampmode.com to find out more about that. LAMPMODE.com. And, of course, try to get on iTunes. And thanks for listening to Trippy Total Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And what I'm going to do for you next is play something from Answers in Genesis. Here is that.
A Day to Honor Our Veterans. This is Ken Ham, a missionary with a passion for God's Word and the Gospel. Today is a special day in America. It's Veterans Day, a time when we honor and thank those who have served in the military and those who are currently serving. Now, many staff members at Answers in Genesis have served in the military, including in combat. One even has a Purple Heart. I thank God for them for defending our freedom. It's important at this time that we also remember the one who is responsible for giving us life and true freedom. You see, even while we were dead in sin, the Creator God sent his Son to die for us. Jesus Christ died a criminal's death and rose again the third day so that those who confess him as Lord and believe he was resurrected would be saved. I urge you to believe and be saved today.
Want to know more about the good news of the gospel? Visit our Bible upholding website, answersingenesis.org. Learn about salvation in Christ at answersingenesis.org.
Union with Jesus Christ in his dying is the key to putting to death the deeds of the body. Our old self was crucified with him in order that something practical might flow from that glorious union with Christ in his dying. How do you get unified with Christ? Faith alone. Apart from works of the law, unites you with Jesus so that he becomes your righteousness and your pardon and your death. So that something practical might succeed in your life, namely the putting to death of what is dead. That's Christianity.
Who can resurrect your soul? A smart man can't, but Christ will to conduct a heart transplant. I'm living proof of his spiritual maintenance. I'm now revering his patience, fearing his greatness. See, all believers have truly died ourselves. Cause when Christ died, we were crucified as well.
Okay.
So our old body of sin can be done away with. What a great gift, he's begun the facelift.
Yeah.
But just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too walk in the newness of life in union with Christ.
Amen.
In the past, my master was sin, in a tract of my skin, but I no longer have to give in. His word told me he changed me with his might, so I could be holy and blameless in his sight. I was first regarded as that church he pardoned, but I'm confident he'll finish the work he started modestly. In all honesty, Christ lived flawlessly. He's the motor, I'm his pottery. He set me apart from the sons of destruction. He's perfected my heart, it's under construction. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Christ doesn't just save us for forgiveness of sins. He takes us and shapes us into an image of him. Christ fulfilled the law when we were doomed with Satan. So believers get his righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated. I know the process stated seems complicated, but it's the Holy Spirit's key medication. All by his washing and regeneration. He takes worms and maggots and turns their habits. The ones cursed with madness are now served with gladness.
Come on.
Tell me, who else can take vessels of strife and then transform them into stencils of Christ?
Nobody.
Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs?
Yeah.
Christ came to die. His Christ claimed the sky. His God's grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. Dude, there's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season.
Okay.
We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, but slaves of righteousness. Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Yeah. Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric he's weaving me into his kingdom's tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverence, we need to know this, brethren. The road that gets to heaven goes through Romans 6:11.
Yes.
Acknowledging as true what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to. The Lord sent in his word.
Right.
In Jesus we rest. We've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh.
Spirit.
I know my place. That's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace,
uh-huh,
the more he shows me his face.
Yes.
I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes.
Yes.
Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
The Sun-Grazing Comets. This is Ken Ham, who's enjoying a great new planetarium show at the Creation Museum. In September last year, two astronomers at a Russian observatory discovered a comet. Now, they called it Comet Ison. Comets are not rare to find, but this one is different because it's known as a sun-grazer. You see, these kinds of comets pass so closely to the sun that they shine very brightly. In fact, some of the most spectacular comets in history have been sun-grazers. Even William Shakespeare wrote that when princes die, the heavens blaze with light. He was referring to the death of Julius Caesar. After Caesar died, it's believed that the brightest daylight comet in history was sighted. In fact, comets are shining evidence for a young Earth. Join me this week as we learn how.
The heavens declare the glory of God. You'll learn more when you visit our Bible upholding website, answersingenesis.org. You'll be encouraged at answersingenesis.org.
Nobody could see him. Sophomore year, things got complex for Jim. Conference tournament, he broke his wrist on the rim. Then it came out, an agent that bought him a BM. Now Jim's NBA prospects look slim. He's back in the hood, running with his man Tim. They drinking and they smoking blood down to the stem. If Jim's not careful, he will be a victim. Another young black male caught in the system. But then one day, while working out at the gym, he couldn't believe what was standing in front of him. Chocolate honey brown, pretty smile plus trim. What's your name? Hi, my name is Kim.
Ah,
it's just a simple love story, y'all. So what
Ken had a big problem. Kim felt like Jim was only about Jim, and Jim felt like Kim wanted to change him. Even small things became arguments for them. Like Jim like whole milk, Kim like skim. The future for Jim and Kim was looking grim. Their love song was turning into a requiem. But then one day everything changed for Kim. She heard the gospel and got introduced to him.
Ah,
it's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is the day, don't let the decadence take you away. Don't let it take you away. Wait, it's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is the day, just let the harmony take you away. As we do it live. Tried to share it with Jim. He wasn't feeling it. He thought it was just a whim. He couldn't run though. Something was different about him. Cause every morning she was up at 5 a.m. Faithfully on her face praising him. Thanking him for his grace. Even praying for Jim. Answer the prayer. Jim gave his life to him. And then 3 months later, Jim's wife was Kim. A love triangle. On the bottom right is Jim. On the bottom left is Kim. At the pinnacle is him. So the closer Jim gets to him and Kim gets to him, the closer Jim gets to Kim. And that's the end. Peace. It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is today, don't let the bitterness take you away. Don't let it take you away. Wait. It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is today, just let the symphony take you away. As we do it live.
What are comets made of? This is Ken Ham, often a guest on radio and TV on the Bible's accuracy. This week we're learning about what are called sun-grazing comets. Now these comets pass close to the sun and shine very brightly. So have you ever wondered what comets are made of? Well, the heart of a comet, called a nucleus, is a solid chunk of ice and dust. They're a few miles across. Now, as the comet comes close to the sun's radiation heats the nucleus. Lots of gas and dust are released, and that's what makes the comet glow. And it appears to have a tail. You see, comets lose a huge part of their ice and dust each time they pass the sun. And eventually, well, they totally fade away. This reveals that comets cannot exist for the billions of years evolutionists claim. Actually, the universe is young.
How old is the universe? You'll find out when you visit our attractive website, AnswersInGenesis.org. Learn the true age of the earth at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Great.
Guitar Boy 70, that says 70 as in 70, singing it. And you'll see me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And before that, we had A Simple Love Story by Shannon. And now, another from Answers in Genesis, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Where do comets come from? This is Ken Ham, who's enjoying the new planetarium show on comets at the Creation Museum. Comets are a mystery to evolutionists. Now, many secular scientists believe comets formed about 4.5 billion years ago, but comets simply can't survive that long, which confirms a young universe. So how do evolutionists deal with this problem? Well, one idea is known as the Oort cloud, which some secularists believe releases new comets, but there's absolutely no evidence the cloud even exists. Another idea is that there's a belt of comets orbiting beyond Neptune, but that's still being debated. You know, comets are a problem for a solar system that's supposedly billions of years old, but not for a solar system created just thousands of years ago. Comets confirm what the Bible teaches.
Want to know more about astronomy and the Bible? Visit our faith-affirming website, answersingenesis.org. Learn the evidence for a young universe, at answersingenesis.org.
All right, Go Fish guys, I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? All right, here we go.
Again, that was Go Fish, and that's the song called Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And now, another one from Shylin, and this one is called All Consuming Fire, here on Trippy Tory.
The glory of God not honored. The holiness of God not reverenced. The greatness of God not admired. The power of God not praised. The truth of God not sought. The wisdom of God not esteemed. The beauty of God not treasured. The goodness of God not savored. The faithfulness of God not trusted. The commandments of God not obeyed. The justice of God not respected. The wrath of God not feared. The grace of God not cherished. The presence of God not prized. The person of God not loved. That is sin. We'll be right back.
affection for which he should be adored. A passion for this message, yes, it needs to be restored. He has holy reflexes towards the evil he abhors. And cats who don't respect him will receive his lethal sword. The mass prefers the pleasures that sin easily affords. Our blasphemous affections are the reason we at war. We should be in awe, his sweetness should keep us floored. Sin's radical infection is the reason we get bored. Repeatedly we snore, he's frequently ignored. We explore evil lust, leaving us greedy for more. The master's recollection of our evil he records. We have zero protection because he is keeping score. It's bad for every section, there's no path for his inspection, cause we're lacking the perfection that we need to be secure. Everlasting dissection, the unbeliever's reward. Disaster for rejection of the truth, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, he's gonna burn it away. The holy burning the way. Eternal the day. Somebody come on. Commands, unequaled in his qualities, he's awesome and he's grand. He's regal and his policies are gloriously planned. He's peeping the idolatry that's all across the land. Our people in society ignore the Son of Man. By seeking their autonomy, they are caught in a trance. But he will put a stop to the evil and apostasy, the devious hypocrisy, the fallenness of man. We're teaching you theology so y'all can understand. According to his plans, the slaughter of the damned. Unspeakable reality to fall into his hands. No sequels, it's finality, and awful is the sin. No weeping or apologies, no sneakiness or bribery will keep the Lord from honoring his law and its demands. With pieces of his pottery, he causes us to stand. His people see him properly, exalted is the Lamb. Lamb,
God is
Lamb.
Lamb. Fire, way of fire.
Yeah, he's gonna burn it away. The holy burning the blaze. Eternal the day, somebody come on. God's wrath, we see it openly explained. So mindful of its gravity, this poetry is plain. A frightful catastrophe, his foes will be in pain. Stifle their anatomy and souls will be sustained. Recycled supernaturally and locally contained. The spiteful would be glad to see God's potency restrained. Noticeably profane, they're supposed to be ashamed. They joke like it's a game, they're woefully deranged. Maniacal, they're actually opposed to Jesus' reign. His rightful mastery of the whole of his domain. Not tribal, but massively and globally ordained. He died to make us happily devoted to his fame. His rivals with their strategies, the prideful with their apathy, their idols and their blasphemies will only see the flames. Denial of his majesty is totally insane. The title of his masterpiece is holy as his name. Yes, he's gonna burn it away. The holy burning the blaze. Eternal the day. Somebody come on.
Where do comets come from? This is Ken Ham, who's enjoying the new planetarium show on comets at the Creation Museum. Comets are a mystery to evolutionists. Now, many secular scientists believe comets formed about 4.5 billion years ago, but comets simply can't survive that long, which confirms a young universe. So how do evolutionists deal with this problem? Well, one idea is known as the Oort cloud, which some secularists believe releases new comets, but there's absolutely no evidence the cloud even exists. Another idea is that there's a belt of comets orbiting beyond Neptune, but that's still being debated. You know, comets are a problem for a solar system that's supposedly billions of years old, but not for a solar system created just thousands of years ago. comets confirm what the Bible teaches.
Want to know more about astronomy and the Bible? Visit our faith-affirming website, AnswersInGenesis.org. Learn the evidence for a young universe at AnswersInGenesis.org.
Everybody knew, sharper than a tack on the end of a Ginsu. She graduated number one and had to give a speech. Uh-huh. What would she say? What would she teach? She knew about God and this was her chance. She could bust a move or be afraid to do the dance. She told the truth and everybody heard. She got brave cause she understood. If you wanna bear fruit, you got to move. Get up and get grooving. You know the truth. Don't miss your chance. Talking to them when we walk away. What will they think? Will they make fun? Where will they go when their time on earth is done? We gotta be the salt. We gotta be the light. We gotta get left or we gotta get right. Try to be sensitive. It's gotta send a mask. Put on your armor and take one in the chest. If you wanna bear fruit. Tell it.
We got the truth.
We got the truth.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
Gotta Move. That was Go Fishing It. You want to check out more about them, you can go to their website, which is Go Fish Guys. That's G-U-I-S. GoFishGuys.com. And thanks for listening. Was Kentra on Trippy Toll Radio. And we're going to do another one from Go Fish. This one's called Love Like This here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Laid their weapons down for a love. have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because of anything I've done. There's a reason and it's the only one.
Was the song Saved, and before that we also had Love Like This by Go Fish. And what we're going to do next is going to play this song. Is called False Teachers here on Trippy Tory.
1 2 1 2. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah. And I ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Whoa.
And cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only
prove that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then, yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell. Down. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
Osteen John.
Let him know.
Preston Dollar is a false teacher.
Well to well.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
Who else, who else?
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to them.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
Who else, who else?
Paul Crouch is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.
Now, if you will lend me your ears while watching this picture on the screen, I will tell you about these invisible waves and how our ears are able to convert them into sound. Even now, as my voice comes to you, it is carried by these airwaves to be conveyed to your own brain by nerve impulses created within your ear. As we shall see, the speed of conversion requires the highly refined and perfect mechanism, which is our ear.
What an unspeakable privilege to talk about the Holy One, His wondrous acts and might, and the sacrifice of His only Son. Disclaimer, turn this off now if you want a worldly substitute, but turn the volume up, hear me if you sincerely love the truth. So focus, we have much to do and little time to do it, and my job is done if this encourages you to commune with Him. To get a bigger view of Him, we gotta dive in deeply though. 6 million forms of communication like C-3PO. By nature, all of us are blind to divine reality, and we would stay in that state if God didn't give us eyes to see. But now that He has opened them, our view is panoramic now. Although it's through a dark glass, it's new and not Adamic now. It's true and kind of tragic how at one time we had to fight for Him, and whether religious or irreligious, we were fighting Him. The elect, Jesus died for them. Holy Spirit enlightened them, and now the works of God are studied by all who delight in Him. 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 Delight in Him.
Yeah, let me make this plain, kids. God is the greatest. He never changes. His ways are blameless. For His own glory and at different stages, He raises up servants to make His name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus' fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown. Though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go. Randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And though only heaven knows the name of the preacher, that's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his fall irreversible. Immediately, after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently, he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen. Proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15, in a place called Water Beach, graced with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, this boy can preach. In fact, he was so classy that after the master of Baptist church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the king who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you were to scratch him, he would bleed Bible. A rich prayer life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing. Steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London, met his wife. Her name was Susanna. The grace of God stand to the side, the spirit exalting the lamb who has died. It can't be denied, this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant, extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers, loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge, established a school to train pastors in college, sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built two homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine, plus he wasn't too busy to write books, about 150. God's grace in Spurgeon was manifest, but remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression, consistently sick kid, both he and Susanna physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on comes complications, his stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers, we're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers. 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 Prince of Preachers.
That was Shylin singing the song called Spurgeon. And you're with me, Melissa Cantrell, on Tributorio. We're going to do one from Timothy Brindle called The Humility of Christ.
Here's Timothy Brindle. This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
And Father in glorification before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity within a perfect triangle of love, still with no one else, no need for others, cause God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself, and we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me. An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
doctors around, no spot could be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces piled. The scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race whose sin would bring him hell. Who'd assume that this could be? God became a man penetrating into human history, but he did it completely opposite than people thought he would. So unbelievers mocking it. Who'd assume that this could be? You became a man penetrating into human history, but you did it completely opposite than I thought you would. So I was mocking it. Promised Messiah, didn't come in the honor of sire, but humbly wrought in some modest attire. So people missed it, to be specific, the legalistic thought the king would be the richest. And we know we like commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said, he runs with a team of stupid fishermen, and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians. Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection, see? Wait, are you kidding me? Why Jesus go low and why feed the souls? What great humility! See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Checked his earthly ministry, he didn't make a bed. He had no place to lay his head, but he became bound to his own law. But we found no flaw, was from a rugged town so raw. Slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depths, the sum of our deaths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest death that's dreaded. The son is our reps, come under him, get his credit. No question that he's God, but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. In search the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're God, but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. In search the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked this wicked earth. He was falsely condemned by Jews and filthy pagans. Now the cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely best removed him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful, gracious and patient with him. Yet he was hated and forsaken by men like Jews. They hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled. Suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut by a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The Father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our lives are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one's pain was worse, 'cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence, put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge to arm some lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath, so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
That was the song, like I said, called Humility of Christ. And next, we're going to do something again from Answer the Gist here on True Faith Tory.
What to expect from Comet Ison? This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on science and the Bible. This week, we've been learning how comets confirm a young universe. Now, something very exciting will be happening soon. We'll be able to see a real sun-grazing comet in the night sky. On November 28th, Comet Ison will reach its closest point to the sun. Now this should be when it's at its brightest. Ison might even be visible during the day, but be very careful not to look directly at the sun. In December, you should be able to see Comet Ison in the east in the morning and in the west in the evening. In January, it'll be visible only with a telescope or binoculars. Take advantage of this rare opportunity to see a beautiful part of God's creation and to think of our Creator and His love for us.
The heavens declare the glory of God. Learn more when you visit our faith-affirming website, AnswersInGenesis.org. You'll be encouraged at AnswersInGenesis.org.
So that
Guitar Boy 70, that's G-U-I-T-A-R-B-O-Y 70 on YouTube, and the song was His Eyes on the Sparrow, and before that we had Go Fish singing the song, which is called About the Cross. Well, it's called The Cross. Yeah, it's About the Cross. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrilla. Gonna kick it up a notch with one of my favorite songs from Shannon, which is called Penelope Jet, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? Story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're going to see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay.
her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad cause part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Cause all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody gonna make me stay. I'm going to see a king, I'm on my way, and all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand. So without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked him out, didn't want him
You have an attitude that usually means something bad, like you're ticked off or like you're going to prove something to the world. But you need to know that God wants you to have an attitude. Stay tuned and I'll tell you what I mean. Hi, this is Dan Hayden and I have a word from the Word for you. Everybody was arguing their point of view. Nobody was listening to anybody else. They were being totally selfish and to top it off, they were doing it in the church. So the Apostle Paul said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Now, he said that to the Philippian church. Be kind, he said. Listen to one another. You've got a bad attitude. Then he said, you need to get a different mindset. You need to think like Jesus thought. This verse is found in Philippians 2 and verse 5, and says, have this attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus. The word literally means to form an opinion, to be disposed in a certain direction. It's your way of thinking as influenced by who you are, including your emotions and feelings. So Paul challenges the Philippians and says, now think about it, folks. What would Jesus do? Let your attitude be the same as his. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, maybe you should do an attitude check and ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Beloved brothers and sisters, is the ultimate remedy against sin and temptation. Namely, knowing, enjoying, and worshiping Jesus Christ for his many excellent deeds. Why, I'm pleased to sing, because you're my Lord and Savior, my high priest and king, and the world's creator, my shepherd, my master, whom I adore and applaud, the image of the Father, you are the glory of God, it's flushing in your face. I'm smothered in your grace, which nothing can erase, cause you suffered in my place. You get all praise from the sin of pleading. Though you're finished bleeding, you're still busy interceding. I'm forgiven, cause you made the amazing ascension. You're my wisdom, and sanctification, redemption. Your perfect life credited to my account. Yo, I worship Christ forever, kid, I'm a shower. Levitate when I meditate on your excellencies. You bled in my stead, my federal head, you represent me. Your death was a fee, so your elect could be free. Called us effectually, it was predestined to be. For free because his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ for free because his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. The lion, yet the lamb, you're divine, yet you're a man. You're Messiah, and I am, you're triumphant in your plan. Resurrected with all power and might. Exalted in all glory and honor, the Father showered in Christ. Full-time worshippers forever were employed. Christ came to give us the full measure of his joy. I was deep in sin and thus repeatedly. I would be for him, but he would be for me. But Christ reconciled us to worship the Father. To fulfill our existence, our purpose, to honor. Now I'm cursed no longer, so I offer him praise. If not for his grace, I'd be certain to garner. Now often Jesus consumes me with thoughts of his sweetness and beauty. Not some weed or some brewski, nor beer or some ecstasy pills. Cause to see the face of Christ is a superior, excellent thrill. Christ were free because his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ we're free, cause his price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. Christ, you're excellent, worthy. I praise your Father, he's made me a vessel of mercy. Now show your glory's weightiness to your church, and we'll reflect back the radiance of your worth. Have the power to rule and destroy, but you'll bring us in your Father's presence where there's fullness of joy and blushes forever. Never competitors ever can threaten to sever. You have my heavenly treasure. It's my endless endeavor to honor him. I wanna sing cause you're so sovereign and conquering. My vows do, so I vow to ascribe value to my God and King. You can't compare your worth to pieces of gold. You're keeping me whole. Worship the beast from my soul. Need the control. I can't explain how this suits me. A fiend to behold and gaze at your beauty. And in quiet in your temple, face to face in crazy grace with no desires that are sinful. You shed mad blood to cleanse cat crud. You said that was your steadfast love. My master snatched this cat from tragic sadness, gave me ecstatic gladness. He lavished matchless compassion that attracts like magnets attached to cabinets. You bought and claimed my weak blind soul, like going once, going twice, three times soul. To the God man who trusts in glory, now I rest assuredly because his death secured me. A front row view of his majestic splendor, which will never bore me or be impressed forever. He's a consuming fire, yet he's tender. He's
Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. A front row view of his majestic splendor, which will never bore me, you'll be impressed forever. You're a consuming fire, yet you're tender. You're Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. Oh, praise to Christ from grateful men, give praise to him who saves us and takes us in and makes us kings to reign with him. We'll praise with him, the days won't end, so we say amen.
That's the Excellency of Christ, and Timothy Brindle singing it. Want to find out more about him, check out his record label, lampmode.com, LAMPMODE.com. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrell on Truth Be Told Radio. And now we're going to do another Word from the Word here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Have you ever felt empty inside? You know, all your get up and go, got up and went. Well, Jesus deliberately emptied himself. Going to talk about that today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Philippians 2, 6 and 7, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself." That is one of the most amazing things to know about Jesus. He deliberately and voluntarily emptied himself. This word is a verb that means to make empty, to make of no effect, to neutralize. So, what does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? Well, in the text of Philippians 2, it simply means that he humbled himself. The general was riding his horse along the supply line as wagons carried supplies to the front lines. Suddenly, he came upon a wagon stuck in the mud as two soldiers strained against the wheels to dislodge it. The general got down from his horse, laid aside his cape and sword, and put his shoulder to the wheel along with his men. In that act of humility, the general endeared himself to his troops beyond words. Now, that's what Jesus did when he emptied himself. Though he existed as God, he voluntarily stepped out of heaven, laid aside his regal robes, and became a servant on our behalf. That's what it means that he emptied himself. It simply means that he humbled himself. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, Jesus didn't just get us out of the mud. He died for our sins to save us from eternal death.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden. That's awordfromtheword.org.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right, let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my!
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week, and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day, in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up. Well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell. And there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross and died so that justice would be served and sinners could go free. Then, Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So stop living for yourself. Turn from your sin and come to Jesus. Then read your Bible and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow. And then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
There is a principle of geometry which says that things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Equal. That's our word for today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Philippians 2 and verse 6, it says this about Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Actually, Paul is saying that Jesus is equal with God. The argument goes like this. God is in the form of God, and Jesus is in the form of God. So, since things equal to the same thing are equal to each other, Jesus and God are equal. This word equal is an adjective that literally means to be the same as something else, to be consistent in essence, to be equal in kind. When a Shakespearean actor takes on the role of Hamlet, he assumes the identity of a 16th century character in England. He looks like Hamlet, talks like Hamlet, and acts like Hamlet. But in actuality, the Hamlet in the Shakespearean play and the actor who has his own real life are actually the same person. The actor and Hamlet in the play are equal. There is no difference between them. Now, that's the idea being expressed in Philippians 2:6. Jesus, on the stage of world history, is actually God taking on the role of being our Savior. Jesus and God are actually the same person. They are equal. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, even though Jesus looked like a Jew and dressed like a peasant, he is actually God.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
Yeah. Story number three, we'll call her Cece.
Okay.
Raped in Maryland, not far from D.C.
Uh-huh.
She got a lot to cherish, thank God she's not embarrassed about her parents because they had a rock solid marriage.
Right.
Father straight loved her, gave like no other.
Yeah.
Raised with her brother by a stay-at-home mother. Her life always had the true God in the mix because her parents understood Deuteronomy 6. She was raised in the fear of the Lord, amazing grace appeared, and she was saved at the mere age of four. A true clear conviction, the oldest replaced. She's a fruit-bearing Christian who's growing in grace. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, sit, stand up and testify. CC said,
I ain't got no horror story. God save me in my youth, I give him all the glory.
If you repented of your sins,
testify.
If you trusted in Jesus,
testify.
If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection,
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
If you're saved by grace, then
testify.
If you're seeking God's faith, then
testify.
If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then
testify.
Say what?
Testify.
That was Shannon with Testify, and you're listening to me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And next, I'm going to do another one, A Word from the Word.
Animators gave Casper the Ghost a form so you could see him, but real spirits don't have a form, or do they? Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In John 4:24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, which means that God doesn't have a body. So in the second of the Ten Commandments, God was serious when he said, don't make any graven image. In other words, don't try to give God a body. God wants us to worship him as he is, a spirit being. Now, there is an important thing to understand about God's spirit being. We find it in Philippians 2 and verse 6, where it says that before Jesus became a man, he existed in the form of God. In other words, even though God is a spirit, he has a form. The word for form here is the Greek word morphe, which refers to a shape or an appearance. There is a philosophy which says that God is in everything. It is called pantheism. God is in the trees and rocks and earth and sky. In other words, he has no form of his own. But this verse says that that is not true. Even though God is a spirit, he has a form, a spirit form. He has a form that is separate and distinct from his creation. Now in Philippians 2 and verse 6, Paul is saying that before Jesus became a man, he was one with God in his spirit form. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, God is not just a force, like the force be with you. He's a person, a real person.
A Word from the Word is an apologetics ministry emphasizing the trustworthiness of the Bible, and an exposition ministry exploring the biblical text for answers to life's most pressing issues. Visit our website today at awordfromtheword.org.
If you want it bad enough, you'll go for it. You'll grab the initiative, you'll seize the opportunity. After all, that's how you get ahead in the world. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Listen, there's another side to this idea of getting ahead in the world. You see, if you already have it, you don't have to go for it. If it's already yours, you don't have to seize the opportunity. That is the meaning of the word in Philippians 2:6 when it says that Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. This word actually means a thing to be seized or greatly desired. It comes from a verb that means to take something by force, so it has the idea of seizing something that you desire to have, which implies that you don't have it to start with. Now, what Paul is saying is that Jesus is already equal with God, so he doesn't have to try to become equal. He is equal. Prince William is the heir apparent of the English crown. So one day he will be King of England. It's already his, so he doesn't have to try to take it by force. He doesn't have to grab it from the Queen Mother. Even so, Philippians 2 and verse 6 is saying that Jesus is equal in every respect with God. So he didn't have to grab the initiative and seize the opportunity to become equal with God. He is equal, so it wasn't a thing to be grasped.
Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, if Jesus is really God, then he deserves our worship and obedience, doesn't he?
A Word from the Word is produced in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free ministry resources to help you understand God's Word, including full-length messages by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and what I'm going to play for you next is a song called Snazzy by GoFish. That was GoFish with the song Snazzy. And we got time for one more before we go. So far, thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And remember, you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and also on Twitter as Truth Be Told Radio, but it's the letter B instead of B-E. So it's Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. And me, if you want to check out me, my most controller, and my personal website is smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com, and on Twitter as bondservant4jc, bondservant, the number 4, and then J and C. And once again, thanks for listening. What we're going to do is going to go out as we came in with Go Fish singing the VIVLE, and hope you join us next time. We're on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And thanks for listening. Bye for now.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.